Today we want to think about the path to the cross. And the Gospels tell us the events that took place just before Jesus went to the cross. The Bible tells us that on Thursday, Jesus ate and celebrated the Passover feast with his disciples. And then he instituted the memorial of the Lord's Supper, and he told of his death. And they sang a hymn and then went forth to Gethsemane. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed three times, "Not my will, but thine be done." And that's a good lesson for us. When we're walking in the center of the will of God, regardless of what kind of tough times it might hold, we need to be willing to say, "Not my will, but yours be done." And not only did he say that three times, but the Bible says that Jesus sweat drops of blood. In the distance, there were voices that could be heard, and they came closer and they got louder. And then there was a group coming, and they were holding torches, and the torches were burning. And with the group that was coming, there was a band of soldiers. And with the throng of people, there were also priests and Jewish leaders. And a familiar person was leading them, and that person was one of the disciples, Judas. And he walked, when they arrived to where Jesus was, he walked over to Jesus, he greeted him, and he kissed him. And this wasn't because he loved him so deeply, it was a sign to the soldiers that this one, Jesus, that he had just kissed, was the one that they were to take captive. And the soldiers led him away, and they led him into the city. The disciples that were with him were afraid, and they fled into the darkness. They took Jesus to Annas, the former high priest, who questioned Jesus, and he slapped him because of the answer that Jesus gave him. And then Jesus was examined by Caiaphas, the high priest, and also by the Sanhedrin. And false witnesses were brought in to testify against Jesus, and they brought accusations. But the accusations that were brought conflicted. They weren't all the same. And then he was asked, "Are you the Christ, the Son of God?" And in Matthew chapter 26, verse 64, Jesus answered, "Jesus said unto them, Thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." The high priest that was there tore his garments, and he cried out, "He has spoken blasphemy." And then he asked, "What do you think?" And the answer that came from others was, "He is guilty of death." And they spit in his face, and they hit him with their fists. And they slapped his face, and they mocked him. Now I want to turn back to Isaiah chapter 53. And the reason we're looking at verses there is because what I'm going to read is the reason Jesus had to experience this and go to the cross. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him," Jesus, "the iniquity of us all." You see, Jesus experienced all this because he came to pay the penalty of our sin. Meanwhile, while this was going on, Peter was out in the courtyard, and three times he was confronted with the fact of being a follower of Jesus. And all three times he denied that he even knew him. In fact, the third time, Peter even cursed and swore. Now, Peter was one of his closest disciples, and yet he denied him. While this was going on, darkness gave way to the morning light of a new day, and the Jewish leaders met again and declared their verdict to have him put to death, and they decided how it was to be done, crucifixion. But they did not have the authority to do that. That had to be done by the Roman government. And so Jesus was led away to Pilate. Then Judas, when he saw what was taking place, he was filled with regret and guilt, and he came back to the chief priests, and he declared, "I have betrayed innocent blood." And he threw the money down that they had paid him, and he threw it down on the floor of the temple, and Judas went out, and he hung himself. The Jewish leaders made accusations before Pilate. He claims to be a king. He wants to overthrow the nation, and he doesn't give allegiance to Caesar. And so Pilate questioned Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus explained, "My kingdom is not of this world. It's a heavenly kingdom." And the Jews then sent him to Herod, who was visiting in Jerusalem. And Herod questioned Jesus, and Jesus remained completely silent. And in Isaiah 53, verse 7, it says, "He was oppressed and was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth." Herod and the soldiers placed a kingly robe on Jesus, and they mocked him, and they ridiculed him, and then sent him back to Pilate. And the Jews again accused Jesus before Pilate and said, "He is worthy of death." And Pilate said to them, "Both I and Herod find no fault in him. I will scourge him and then release him." And at that time, Pilate received a message from his wife, and his wife said to him, "Release him. I have been tormented with a dream about him." Now, it was the custom that if a prisoner was released, he should be released on the feast day. And the Jews declared, "No, don't release Jesus. Release Barabbas. Destroy Jesus." Now, Barabbas was a robber, a murderer. He was guilty of sedition and rebellion, and he was a man worthy of death. And Pilate pleaded with the Jews, "Why? Why do you want to put Jesus to death?" But the Jews just cried out, "Away with this man! Crucify him! Crucify him!" And in Isaiah 53, verse 3, we read, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." And then again, Verse 6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." At that point, Pilate called for a basin of water, and he washed his hands, and he declared, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See you to it." And he had his robe removed so that Jesus' back was bare, and he scourged him, and his back was cut and bleeding. Then the robe was put back on him, and soldiers led Jesus into the outer room, and there they removed his robe again, and they placed on him a robe worn by kings, and a crown of thorns was placed upon his brow. And you can only imagine how those thorns pierced his brow and scratched his brow. And then they placed a staff in his hand, and they bowed before him, and they mocked him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit on him, and they took his staff and hit him on the head again and again. And you can only imagine how the thorns tore into his flesh while they hit the crown. And then they pulled his hair and the beard out. And when they had finished, his face was bleeding, it was bruised, it was swollen, and it was disfigured. In Isaiah 52, verse 14 says, "As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men." His robe was taken off, and his own garments were placed on him again. And he was led outside, and there a heavy cross was placed upon his shoulder. And with the help of another person, he carried it up to Golgotha. And when he reached Golgotha, he was taken by rough, heartless hands, and he was laid there on the cross, and nails were pounded through his hands and his feet. And the cross was lifted up and slid down into the hole, and you can only imagine the weight of his body pulling against the nails, how it must have tore where the nails were pounded through. And there he hung. He was dying for your sins and my sins. In Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5, it says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Now, Jesus experienced all of this because he had left heaven to come to earth and to go to the cross, that he might be the sacrifice in payment for our sins, that it might be possible for us to repent and have our sins forgiven and become a child of God and have eternal life. We should definitely give thanks to the Lord for sending the Lord Jesus to become our sacrifice for sin and to make it possible for us to have our sin forgiven and have eternal life. And we should constantly be thankful for what for God's great love for us in sending His Son. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you so much for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus, and we thank you for what He was willing to bear on Calvary's cross, and even before He got to the cross, in order that He might pay the penalty for our sin and make it possible for us to have our sin forgiven through faith in Him and have everlasting life. Thank you for this, and we ask this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.